Let's pray. You are amazing, God. In you we live and move and have our being. You have created us. You sustain us. And here in this hour, we come now to worship you with everything we are. We praise you, God. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings you shower upon us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. We pray you will bless them and multiply them in our hands, and that we will spend them wisely in your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a number of children with us this morning. I invite the children to come forward to the front pew down here.
Good morning. Morning. How are you? Happy New Year. Excuse me? Hello? A little enthusiasm there? You saw first week of school, a little tiring, was it? Eh? You had a dream? That's. Oh. Oh, the dinosaurs. I remember somebody else talked about dinosaurs years ago. Remember that? Yeah. Anyways, did you guys lose any of your power when we had the ice storm? You had all your lights? Nobody lost power? No? Okay. Well, I know a lot of people that lost power. It wasn't very pleasant. But yesterday, I was kind of being cheap. I thought, you know what? It's raining. I'm going to back my car out and let the rain wash my car. Walk, open the garage door, go in the garage. Guess what? I'd left my car door open. I had no power in my car. I was not happy. So we had to get somebody to come and boost my car, and I hope it's running this morning. I haven't tried it yet, but anyways. So where do Christians get their power from? God, Jesus, God, yeah, exactly. And what do we have to do to get that power? What do we have to do to get that power? We have to be, starts with an O. B. Open. Yeah, we have to act. Great. We have to be open to God. Very good. Good answer. Good answer. Give me five. All right. We have to be obedient. Pastor Keith's going to be talking about being obedient to the big people up when you're downstairs. But in order to get the power from God, we have to be obedient and listen to all he tells us. And where does he tell us? I haven't got one with me. In the Bible. If you can read your Bible on an ongoing basis and we can pray, we can get power from God to get through almost, well, I shouldn't say almost everything. We can get through everything. Maybe not as fast as we want it, but the fastest God wants us to get through. So remember that. If you want power in your life to get through life and help you through school and all the other things, you just be obedient to God. Okay? Let's pray before we go downstairs. Dear Jesus, help us as we go downstairs to learn more about you. In name we ask. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for the season just past, the season of Christmas, where we celebrated the birth of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that each one of us will welcome him anew into our hearts this season. That Christ will find a place in our hearts each and every day of 2014. We pray for a new commitment, a renewal, a revival of your Spirit in the lives of this congregation. Lord, we pray for the world. We pray for the places in this world that are just torn apart by strife and conflict. Lord, we pray your Spirit of peace will descend on those countries that are spending years, decades in war, bloodshed, violence. And while we watch that on our televisions from afar, Lord, let us not forget to give thanks for the peace and security that we experience here in Canada. We give you thanks for that. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are sick. Pray for those who are anticipating surgery, chemotherapy, and all kinds of procedures. And Lord, we pray for our dear sister Peggy Martin today on the passing of her brother this past week. Lord, we pray for peace in that family. And Lord, we pray that your peace will be in Peggy's heart as she mourns the loss of her loved brother. Lord, at this time as we are approaching our annual meeting and we're looking at people to step forward to be in part of our leadership team, Lord, we pray for those whom you would have come forward and be part of our admin board, our deacons board, our ministry team, or our board. We just ask, Lord, that your Spirit will touch those that you want to be leaders in this congregation. And we pray for everyone who will be asked, that their hearts will be open to respond appropriately. Lord, we give thanks for those who have led this church and this congregation over the years, who have put in time, hours a week, for years on end, to see that this church remains functioning and moving forward. We give you thanks for that. And we pray again your Holy Spirit on all who lead and direct the life of your church. And now in the quietness of this place, in your own hearts, give thanks to God for the blessings you have received and ask him to enter your heart and guide and direct your paths throughout this year. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are a God who we can approach. You have heard our prayers this morning, for we have prayed them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Author Ken Wistmer, in his book Pursuing Justice, tells a story of an African Christian leader who has spent 15 years helping some of the most vulnerable people in the world. This man was born and raised in what is one of the most war-torn regions of the globe, which is Eastern Congo. His life is regularly threatened. He faces the seemingly impossible task of trying to restore villages decimated by rape, murder, and plunder. Some visiting executives from a large, well-known global relief organization were touring the region. They noticed what an effective job this man was doing and offered him a position as the leader of their Congo operations. And he quickly turned them down. On paper, it was the kind of offer you can't refuse. Higher pay, more security, greater influence. A dream promotion for most Westerners. But he refused for a very simple reason. He said, God gave me the job I have. He's helped me build the relationships and the respect that I have. He has opened the door for me all these years and kept me safe on every trip into the bush. I'm right here where God wants me to be. So why should I go anywhere else? I just don't want to be good. I want to be where God wants me to be. Now that should be the prayer of every Christian, to be where God wants him or her to be righteous before God, fulfilling all that he's asked you to do. And we want to do that. I think in our hearts we want to do that, but we face obstacles, we face distractions, we face deterrence in our pursuit of righteousness, in our pursuit of being obedient to God's call. We seek to fulfill what God has called us, but we face all these challenges. But we have to make choices. We have to decide where our obedience lies. Today's reading from Matthew 3, we see Jesus coming to be baptized. And you'll find a little word in this text that's about what we're talking about here. I'll let Matthew tell the story. We're in Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17, a very short passage. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now, John the Baptist tried to deter him. Now, I'm sure John the Baptist was thinking with what he thought were right motives. After all, it was John that identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, twice in John chapter 1. He knew who Jesus was, and he rightly thought that he, John the Baptist, was the one who needed to be baptized by Jesus. However, Jesus is looking for higher motives here. He's working on higher motives. He wants to fulfill all righteousness. He's motivated only by his will to do what the Father wants him to do. He will not be deterred. Nothing, anything will not deter Jesus. Jesus had a mission, and opposition and attempts at distraction plagued his ministry right from the start. Right from the beginning, Jesus was having obstacles and opposition all the way through. In Matthew 2, right at the very beginning, King Herod wanted to kill him, right at the outset, get rid of him. And here in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is trying to deter him. In Matthew 4, Satan was trying to deceive him. Even one of his apostles, Peter, was trying to stop him. When Jesus was telling the apostles about his journey to Jerusalem, where he was going to be handed over to the chief priests, he was going to be executed and suffer many things, Peter jumps up and says, Never, Lord, this is never going to happen to you. Jesus' response was, Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of the world, not the things of God. Even his family, even Jesus' family, tried to stop him. In Matthew 3, there's an episode counted there by Matthew. Jesus enters a house, and again a crowd gathers, such a large crowd that even Jesus and his disciples could not eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, He is out of his mind. And the religious people of the day tried to undermine his ministry. Mark 3, and the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. All the way through, friends, family, the religious leaders, the state, all trying to deter him, distract him, kill him if they might. But Jesus had determined in his life that he was going to be obedient to all that the Father asked him to do, even all the way to the death on the cross. And yet all along the way, there were these attempts to derail him. And if you decide to follow God, if you want to find God's will for your life and pursue it, you too will encounter distractions, detours, opposition. Family will ridicule you, even disown you. Friends will abandon you. The so-called religious people will try to undermine you. The systems of this world will conspire to thwart you. You will encounter opposition. If you truly want to follow God, be a follower of Jesus Christ, there will be opposition. But you must choose, you and I have got to choose, between popularity and obedience. We need to choose between comfort and the cross. The question is, and it's always been this question, who are you serving? What are you serving? You can only have one master, Jesus said. You can only have one master. I don't think Jesus cared one little bit who was with him or who was against him. He had a mission, and that mission was to be obedient to God and to fulfill all righteousness. And that started with his baptism. He wanted to fulfill all righteousness, and he would not be stopped. For Jesus, he had an audience of one. He reported to no earthly leader. He came under no one's authority except his Father's. Now you might think, oh yeah, that was Jesus, because it was Jesus. Well, that's actually not true. Throughout Scripture, anybody who tried to do the will of God came up against opposition. Moses, in Exodus 5, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? And is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Moses was doing what God called him to be, and he encountered these difficulties and these challenges. The prophets of old, they came under fire because they told the people what God wanted them to hear. And listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees about the prophets in Luke. Woe to you, he's talking to the Pharisees, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. It was the religious leaders who killed the people who are trying to tell them God's will. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Those are Jesus' words from Luke. And the people of Jesus' day were still opposing God, still opposing. The apostles themselves encountered challenges, even when the evidence of their faith was standing right in front of the people who were opposing them. In Acts chapter 3, the apostles Peter and John heal a man born crippled, a man who was over 40 years old. And in Acts chapter 4, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking, and they brought them before the ruling council. And the man who had been born crippled was standing there right with them. And they still told the apostles not to speak in Jesus' name. With the evidence standing right there, there was still opposition. Everybody who tries to do God's will is going to come up against opposition and conflict. The Apostle Paul, when he, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he's explaining his mission, sort of comparing it with the work the Pharisees were doing. He says, I've worked much harder. I've been imprisoned more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews, the religious leaders, the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day on the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Not a pretty picture, is it? Was Paul complaining? No. He's just telling it like it is. Ministry is tough. Mission is hard work. There will be opposition. But God calls us to obedience, to submit to whatever happens, because we want to fulfill the will of God. Paul knew what his call was, so he obeyed God. He prayed 3 times for this thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. We don't know whether it was a sickness or an illness or a disability, or it was a daily temptation that he had. But God said, no, I'm not taking it away. My grace is sufficient for you. You just do what I tell you to do, and my grace will be sufficient. Paul writes in Romans, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. If Indeed, we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. Suffering again. Paul writing, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And he closes that thought with saying, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So we now have almost half of the New Testament because of Paul's obedience. We have the books of the prophets, 5 majors, 12 minors, because of the prophets' obedience. We have the great story of the Exodus and the redeeming of the nation of Israel because of Moses' obedience. And we have our own salvation because of Christ's obedience. All the way through, men of God, people of God, God himself in flesh, obedient to the will of the Father and putting up with the outrageous opposition that they were subjected to. So for you and I, if we are going to embark on a life of faith, we cannot expect it to be easy. It takes commitment to be obedient regardless of the consequences. We have to decide we're going to be obedient to God's call regardless of what happens. So what's God calling you to in your life? What is he calling you to enter into obedience? Is it a big thing? Is it a little thing? Whatever it is, be obedient and be bold about it. As Paul says, creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. The world is waiting for people of God to stand up and make a stand. If you are a believer here today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've made a commitment to follow him, then you should be discerning what God is calling you to this year through prayer and the godly counsel of your brothers and sisters in faith, confirmed by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And whatever it is that God's calling you to this year, do it. Do it boldly. Do it fearlessly. Because God goes with you. Where do you start? Why did God audibly speak at that passage in Matthew 3? Jesus was barely begun. He hadn't preached. He hadn't done any miracles. He was just being baptized. And yet God speaks audibly from heaven to all those gathered there and says, "This is my son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased," because he started out with obedience. He started out with the intention of fulfilling everything his father wanted him to do. He started as he meant to continue, which is to fulfill all righteousness. In everything he did, he acted in righteousness. And he who had no sin started by submitting himself to the waters of baptism. He was humble, he was obedient, he was righteous. And throughout his ministry, he came up against opposition and conflict. Why is that? Because of righteousness. When you stand up for what is right, when you stand firm, unmoved, unflinching for what is right, and you speak and oppose what is wrong, you will see opposition. And the choice then is whether you're going to be obedient to the call of God, obedient to the word of God, or acquiesce to the world. Soften your position on a particular matter just to remain popular. If you have never been ostracized, criticized, marginalized, polarized, ridiculed, abused, disdained, disowned, lied to, lied about, or some other kind of persecution because the name of Jesus is on your lips, because you stood for the right and opposed the wrong, if you've never experienced any of that kind of opposition, then if you're a Christian at all, you're probably an undercover Christian. You haven't gone public with it. You haven't spoken up. You haven't told the world around you where you stand. Maybe it's time this year. Maybe this year is the year you will stand up. Paul said it 2,000 years ago. Creation is waiting. Waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Maybe God is calling you again to step into Christian ministry in some real and meaningful and effective way. Maybe you haven't got there yet. Maybe you're here today and you haven't really fully made a commitment in your life to Jesus Christ. You stood at the threshold and you peer in to the people of faith. You watch from the outside, you watch from the threshold, but you haven't stepped across. You haven't bowed your head, repented of your sin, and asked God to forgive you and Jesus to enter your heart. So today, if you're determined to seek anew God's call on your life, if it's your heart's desire to be sold out to the kingdom of God, not just a spectator, but putting the skates on, putting the helmet on, and getting out on the ice to get in the game, if that's your commitment, pray for God's hand on your life. Ask him to redirect your thinking. Ask him to open your mind to receive the truth. And open your eyes to see what he's calling you to. What is God's will for me? Every one of us should be asking this morning. What is God's will for me for 2014? What ministry or mission has your name on it? Your specific name on it? Will you spend time with God? Serious time, alone time, in prayer, seeking his will, listening in silence, listening for his still, small voice, drawing you into his kingdom work. And if you stand today at the threshold of faith, you've heard the message of Jesus Christ, you know you're a sinner separated from God, and it's your heart's desire to enter into eternal life, then maybe today you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've received him before, but you slipped away. You hung back. The world crowded in and crowded him out. Here we are at the beginning of a new year. Time to make a new resolution, to recommit our lives to Christ. You need to make a public declaration as Jesus did when he stepped up to John the Baptist and said, "Baptize me. I need to do it to fulfill all righteousness." And if Jesus needed to do it to fulfill righteousness, every one of us needs to do it to fulfill righteousness. Jesus submitted. He obeyed. He dismissed John's attempt to deter him, and he stepped into the waters of baptism. I ask you today, have you taken that first public step? Have you committed your life to Christ? But you still stand at the edge. You still stand at the threshold. You won't step over and say, "I'm in. I'm in." Jesus bids each one of us to follow him. God's calling each one of us to repentance. He's calling believers into the waters of baptism. Believer's baptism, as we call it. And he wants to put the Holy Spirit in your heart to guide and direct every decision in your life. Don't let the year go on too far before you commit or recommit to living a righteous, obedient life before God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us today of those men and women of Scripture going back thousands of years who, for the sake of obedience and righteousness, put up with outrageous circumstances and situations. Thank you for those who wrote the scripture down for us, wrote your words down for us, guided by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the apostles who boldly went out, each one of them to their deaths, but didn't flinch, didn't step back. Lord, may we be like them. Lord, if creation is still awaiting, may we be the people here at Christian Baptist Church that stand up as sons and daughters of God and bring the message of your salvation to this hurting, lost world. Hear our prayer today, Father, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of announcements, if I may. Please remember to pick up your envelopes for 2014 downstairs. And there are still some Christmas cards remaining with your name on them. Please pick up those as well. Reminder of Joy this Thursday. And the course that Rose is leading on Islam is starting this Wednesday. And the keys are changing on the church and the annex this Tuesday. So please contact the annex by Tuesday to pick up your new keys. Okay? In Romans, Paul writes, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." Indeed, that's our calling today from our message today, is not to be conformed to this world, but to be conformed to the righteousness that God calls each one of us to. As you go from this place today, go in peace. Know that God loves you, and know that God's calling you to his kingdom work. Go in peace. Amen.